The Jen, Gabe, and Chewy podcast is sponsored by Celsius Energy Drink, and I am here to tell you it makes a huge difference in my mornings. With a unique blend of essential energy and key vitamins, Celsius is your partner to an active lifestyle. My favorite, the peach vibe. Learn more at Celsius.com and pick up Celsius Energy Drinks today.
Showtime. The right way to start your day. This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Of course, he's a Yankee fan with that hat cocked to the side.
All right.
Have we noticed in the still image, there's a guy on the left wearing a sliding glove?
Yes.
An Evil Shield?
Yes.
Sliding glove.
What the? So what do you think?
What is that?
I painted my face.
You painted your face?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, you know, support the team.
Like that's the same thing as like wearing receiver gloves to an NFL game, right?
It's worse.
Worse. Way worse. Receiver gloves, you might catch. You might get to play catch with J.J. Watt. Like, you might.
Well, you can walk around like that.
Why not?
Because it's insane.
Oh, hey, you gotta let them know you're out there. This is the playoffs.
He's wearing a sliding glove?
Yeah, the sliding mitt.
Yeah, like, no, I know.
Yeah, it's and I believe it's like turquoise. That guy who's wearing that is also wearing sunglasses to a night.
Dave's, painted his face.
Oh, yeah, that's cool. Well, you gotta support your team, huh?
Okay, ready to go?
Yeah.
Let's get it on!
This is Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, broadcasting live from the Gruber Law Office's One Call That's All Studios at The Avenue with Gabe Neitzel and Mark Chamora. Here's Jen Latta.
Hey, could you actually reread that part at the bottom for me?
Oh, yeah, sorry. Here's Alex Stroff and Josh DiMaggio.
Wow! Yeah, it is a Dude Friday ahead of Packers Seahawks. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you, 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. That's Joshy DiMaggio. I'm Alex Stroff, and it's a big day at ESPN Milwaukee, Joshy.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a big day because you heard a new voice there in the open. We've formerly called him Intern Will, but today is a big day for the man formerly known as Intern Will. He is no longer Intern Will.
No.
He is now Producer Will. He is Joshy's protege, Will. He is the young prodigy. Will Summers is producing the show. I think I can talk to him, right? Like, those rules are gone now.
So I thought about this, and there used to be pretty strict rules. I think the two people who would have a say on this trust us to not lead them astray.
Hold on a minute. I think they trust you. I think right now they are listening and going, uh-oh, what's about to happen? What the hell is Stroff about to do on a Friday morning? It's only 7:03. Yeah. It's way too early for this.
Being good teammates, I think we need to put brand new Will, who has been great as an intern, now part-time here, helping out all of us. Put him in good spots. That's what we need to do today. We don't need to ask a ton of him. But he's pretty good at his job already for someone as young as he is. So, I mean, that was a great open we saw there.
Did you know that was coming?
No idea. He told me he had an open, and I was like, oh, cool, right on. And then next thing I know, I hear a record scratch, and I thought he was the first voice we heard there. I didn't realize that was part of the open. And I said, wow, he's taking the bull by the horns here. But great job with that, Will.
Will Summers. Good morning.
Good morning, Alex Stroff.
How are you?
Doing great. I'm happy to be here. Of course, my first day as not an intern is with you two idiots.
Whoa!
Okay, not idiots. Sorry.
Gets the job, says, I'm coming out swinging.
I'm having a power trip.
You are. I mean, that's okay. That's okay. Well, good to have you part of the team. Will, thanks for being here this morning. Joshy and I with you until 9 o'clock today. Lots of preview to get into. Packers, Seahawks, Sunday Night Football. If you've been with us this week, you know I'm feeling a little nervous about that. Joshy at some point is going to try to convince me not to be nervous, which I don't know how he's feeling. We'll get to that a bit later.
I was going to say, well, it's presumptive.
I know you're feeling good about Love. I know you're feeling good about the defense. We'll get to all that in the 8 o'clock hour. Jason Wilde will join us in about 10 minutes. We'll hear from our CEO, founder, and host of Sunday Karma, Craig Karmazin, at 7:30 this morning. But man, oh man, boy, does a lot change in 7 months, huh? I mean, 7 months ago, I was living in Madison. Here I am in Milwaukee waking up with you. 7 months ago, you didn't have to start your car 15 minutes early before you go anywhere. 7 months ago, was Josh Jacobs even a Packer yet? Yeah, he was, but barely. We hadn't seen him in a game yet.
What exactly was 7 months ago?
7 months ago, the Bucks, I think, were still in the playoffs. 7 months ago was May 20th, 2024, specifically what I'm regarding here. 7 months ago, on Twitter X, the former Packers linebacker, and now slash maybe current 49ers linebacker, and certainly not for long.
I don't think he's going to make it through the day.
Devondre Campbell tweets this on May 20th. I can't even lie. I'm having so much fun playing football again. The situation I was in was making me lose my love for the game. But I'm back having fun again. And I love that for myself. Yeah, I love that for you too, Devondre Campbell. Except, I don't know how much I love that for you. Last night, it's Niners-Rams. Disgusting football game. The weather's gross. 12-6 final score. In the third quarter, I wish I was joking. I can't believe what I'm about to read. In the third quarter, Devondre Campbell says, no, I'm good. I'm done.
Yeah, there's important context you need to add to that. Drake Greenlaw, who we all saw blow out his Achilles in the Super Bowl, in one of the more like devastating injuries, not from like Kevin Ware gross, but a guy getting ready to go on the field and pops his Achilles in the biggest game of his entire life. He has returned from said injury and was unable to compete the entirety of the game. So usually it's Fred Warner next to Drake Greenlaw. Drake Greenlaw has not played since the Super Bowl. Drake Greenlaw was unable to continue. So they looked over at the guy who had been starting all year and said, hey, the team needs you here. He said, I'd rather not.
I think I'm good.
Yeah, actually, even though Fred Warner and Drake Greenlaw are both all-pro or all-pro adjacent players who have earned their right to be on this team, I feel like I was slighted by losing my starting spot, so I'm not going back in there.
Yeah, so let's keep this in mind about the San Francisco 49ers, who by all means have been the most beat-up team in the National Football League this year. You know who played for them last night? A guy that got shot in the last 7 months. Ricky Pearsall, their first-round pick. He played last night.
Sure did.
Devondre Campbell, who is having so much fun again.
Fred Warner is playing with a broken ankle, a broken bone in his ankle.
Yes.
There's guys out there who've gone through a lot to be on the field for their team.
And there's more things that I won't touch, but that people on that team have gone through in the last
devastating
year.
Life events.
Yes, correct.
Yes.
Who aren't complaining about being multimillionaires who get to play a game for a living. Mm-hmm. I want to hear from the head coach, because everybody kind of saw Devondre Campbell then play. He went back to the locker room in the third quarter. Everybody was kind of going, what's going on here? Obviously, Matt LaFleur's friend, well, at least at one point, and mentor, Kyle Shanahan, the head coach of the San Francisco 49ers, gives us some insight on what the heck happened to Devondre Campbell.
What happened with Devondre Campbell? He didn't play, and he went into the locker room at some point?
Yeah, he said he didn't want to play today. Yep.
The coaching staff?
He did when I asked him why he didn't want to go in. So
during the game or before?
No, that was in the third quarter.
So, a couple things to this. The thing that actually gets me more so than the fact he just didn't want to play is the fact he waited until the third quarter.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm having the sniffles one day, Joshy, I'm typically not a guy, and you've given me a hard time for this, but I'm typically not a guy who's going to power through.
Yeah.
I'm not coming into work. I'm going, hey, I got the sniffles. I need to sleep a couple more hours. I'm going back to sleep.
Which is mostly the right way to do it with the world we're in 2024. I think if you're not feeling well, stay home. I think that's good advice we should all probably live by more, even though we don't want to let our teammates down.
Right.
Now, it's not the same as NFL teammates, but if you watch Devondre Campbell walking off the field with a towel over his head, you notice something about his jersey, and it was completely clean. And it was completely clean because at that point, he hadn't gotten the opportunity to go into the game because the two linebackers they want on the field were on the field. And if you look at all of the stats about Devondre Campbell, he's been one of the worst starting middle linebackers in all the NFL. He was towards the end of his career with the Packers as well. So this is not new, but he lost his starting spot to a guy who was competing for all pros.
Yep.
And then when time came in for him to help out his teammates, when Drew Greenlaw wasn't able to go, he said no. And he didn't tell anyone. He didn't plan to do that. I don't know if he was told something pregame where we're going to be rotating you in more, and he felt slighted by that. Obviously, we don't have Devondre's side of this. frankly, I'm not all that interested in Devondre's side of this. We've heard Devondre's side throughout his Packers tenure when he was done with the Packers.
Oh, how many days this offseason did we spend reading tweets from Devondre Campbell saying, hey, the only reason I was good one year was because I didn't listen to anybody.
Yes. He also said things like, I found my love for football again in San Francisco. I mean, he was singing the praises. But the key fact here is he was needed in San Francisco and wanted. And that is what he wants. He wants it to be about him. And when it wasn't about him and it was about Dre Greenlaw, the presumptive all-pro level player, things changed for him. And you saw this stuff bubbling up in Green Bay. There was times where people were kind of, is he missing games because he doesn't want to be out there? Or is he missing games because he's actually injured? And no one's ever going to call these NFL athletes who endure physical pain amongst the highest level we can imagine. Many of us would not last a single snap in the NFL.
No. But I would also never claim that.
Correct.
And also, I wouldn't wait until the third quarter to say that.
Right. And once you're in the arena and you're there, your teammates need you. This was a team who was fighting for their playoff life to stay alive, and he chose himself and his personal gripes, which he chose in Green Bay as well. And if I were to guess, and we're not going to find out this stuff from, especially now in the post Devondre Campbell era, if I were to guess, there were a lot more things that the Packers were just simply better at keeping under wraps. I don't know if he ever fully said, I'm not going into a game well suited for a game. But I would imagine the training staff and the coaching staff all have things to say that would lead you to believe this behavior we saw yesterday has shown throughout his career. Now, this is a practice squad guy who kind of bounced around the league. He was a great story, became an all-pro in Green Bay himself. And then whatever happened in that time from getting paid to now, there's clearly a selfish player there and clearly a person who is battling things that aren't simply on the football field.
Yeah, and you know what? It is what it is.
He's his own worst enemy, it seems like.
Oh, 100%. And, you know, it really dates back to March. I mentioned the Twitter tirade he went on in March on Joe Barry and in the end of his time in Green Bay, talking about how, you know, he went first team All-Pro a couple of years ago, and that was because he didn't listen to any of the coaching, right? Like, that was literally what he put out on the internet, was saying, hey, the only reason I was an All-Pro was me, which maybe it's partially true. I don't know. Congratulations on your first team All-Pro. Joshy, you know the name Vontae Davis. Why do you know the name Vontae Davis?
He once retired in the middle of a game. I believe he was a Bill at the time.
You are correct.
He also on Hard Knocks had that devastating when he got traded.
Yeah.
And he said, I got to call my grandma.
Yes.
But then things turned out for Vontae Davis quite well after that.
Yeah.
But he's memorable for literally deciding at halftime, you know what? Not for me more.
He's the answer to a trivia question.
Yeah.
And guess what Devondre Campbell is now? It's not, hey, who was the first team All-Pro linebacker that one year in Green Bay? No. Who was the dude who quit on his team in the third quarter of a Thursday night football game, a divisional game, a meaningful divisional game in the 2024 season? Devondre Campbell ain't a first team All-Pro anymore. He's just the answer to a trivia question about who quit.
Yeah, and we also have, Will, can you fire up the George Kittle sound we have here?
Oh, this is fun.
The way his teammates and coaches are talking about him leads you to believe that this was bubbling for a while and isn't a one-off thing. Because remember, Romeo Doubs had the uncharacteristic missing work completely. And even though his coaches and teammates were unhappy with him, they were a lot softer about it, and they were a lot more sympathetic. They were saying, hey, people make mistakes, but this isn't the guy we know. And then you hear this from George Kittle.
Does that create tension or disbelief or just disconnection on the sideline?
Not disbelief or disconnection, like, as a team. That is one person who just decided not to, you know, play for his teammates. And I don't think that doesn't make our offense look at each other and be like, wow, man, you know, we're falling apart. It's more of a, or like the defense, hey, we're falling apart. It's more of a one person making a, like Mooney said, a selfish decision. And I'm with Mooney on that. And I've never been around anybody that's ever done that. And I hope I'm never around anybody that does that again.
That's George Kittle, the Madison-born wild tight end for the San Francisco 49ers. Mooney, he's referencing Charvarius Ward, one of their star cornerbacks, who he had the best quote of the night when he just said, yeah, I bet he gets cut soon.
Yeah. He called it sucker bleep as well.
Yeah.
Basically saying, hey, you left us out there because those guys go to battle every week. They all have injuries. They all have personal life issues. And they all put that aside to be the best for their teammates. And the results aren't always what they want. Obviously, a lot of times many players don't get ever to Super Bowls. Some of them barely make the playoffs throughout their career. Hell, Joe Thomas played how many consecutive snaps with an amount of quarterbacks?
A billion,
and,
yeah.
And they're getting paid well. And that's always what's undergirding this. But if Joe Thomas said, hey, my back hurts, nobody would have said, well, Joe Thomas, what the hell's going on? But he's suited up every single week. And Devondre Campbell was asked in a do-or-die situation for this Rams, for this Niners team. And I don't know if they're officially eliminated because that division is so kind of clumped together there. But this was, hey, this is a great way to finally try and get something going here. And maybe in this back half of the season, back quarter, we can get something going. And he just chose, nope, not going to do it. And I'm making connections here because this is how I operate. The poison that has been in the locker room for the Packers at the end of the Aaron Rodgers era, I think has finally now been fully exercised. I think David Bakhtiari was an issue there. Obviously, Devondre Campbell was one of them. I'm not going to say anything negative about Preston Smith. I don't know that. It seemed like everyone pretty much liked him.
Yeah.
But there were guys, namely Aaron Rodgers as well, who changed the attitude around there that I think affected a lot of those players in significantly negative ways. And Goody's done all he can. Jair's probably the last maybe malcontent remaining. And we might see, this might be his last season with the Packers. But there's been an exercising of we want leaders, we want captains, and we want people who are going to stick up for their team.
You know, we got a text a bit earlier when we introduced our newest producer, the newest member of our team here at ESPN Milwaukee, Will Summers. Chef Ed chimed in, where there's a will, there's a way. Now, why I bring that text up is because,
yes.
Joshy, you know what you just did there.
Yeah.
Where there is a will, there's a way. Joshy somehow found a way to make a story about Devondre Campbell, a player for the San Francisco 49ers, who, by the way, is in California, about the quarterback of the New York Jets on the East Coast.
You got it.
There's a will, there's a way.
Prove me wrong. What did I say that was incorrect?
I can't tell you anything you said was factually incorrect.
Yeah?
I think it might be a little far-stretched. But hey, I respect the hustle.
That's what we're doing here.
Yeah, that's what you do. All right. Want to hear your thoughts on Devondre Campbell. See a bunch rolling in on the text line. Justin says, the only time I ever defended Joe Barry was against Devondre Campbell. I feel very vindicated about that this morning. Hope he enjoyed his last game in the NFL. Ryan and McGuanago just simply text in on the text line, 800-990-3776. Antonio Brown, who did the same thing. A little bit more flashy. He took off his jersey and everything.
It would have been a lot cooler if he did the whole dance in the end zone as he refused to play.
I don't think Devondre Campbell did that.
No, it would have been great, though. It would have added to the story.
Yeah, I actually may have found a way to defend him if he did that. So I'm very glad he didn't do that.
That's tough.
Today I could just call him the Clowndre Campbell and feel good about that. Joshy DiMaggio, Alex Stroph, Will Summers hanging out with you on a Friday morning. We'll talk some Packers Seahawks coming up next as the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year and co-host of Wildy and Tausch, Jason Wildy, joins us on the other side this morning on ESPN Milwaukee.
Ready, down, put.
All Packers, all the time.
He was a field-tilting player, and the reason why Gabe and many others are so concerned is that this guy's on the field, he changes the offensive dynamic. They are a different offense when he is there.
Okay, most of the time.
You know, Homer calls Matt LaFleur soft all the time. Matt LaFleur is like Vince Lombardi compared to me.
It's Jason Wildy on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
Inmates running the asylum this morning on a Dude Friday. Alex Stroph, Joshy DiMaggio, Will Summers with you this Friday morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Excited to be joined now by the three-time Wisconsin Sports Writer of the Year. He is the co-host of Wildy and Tausch. He is the co-host of the wildly popular weekly Wildy program on the ESPN Milwaukee YouTube page. He's the co-host of Green Bay Game Day, Green Bay Game Night. What doesn't he do? Jason Wildy joins us now on a Friday morning. And Jason, I'm just going to give you the floor on Devondre Campbell last night, leaving San Francisco on the sidelines in the third quarter, said, yeah, I just don't want to play tonight, after he needed to go in when Dre Greenlaw couldn't go anymore. What do you make of this situation, as Devondre Campbell, I would assume, has likely played his final NFL game?
Yeah, very surprising. I would have never expected it from such a fantastic teammate and one of my favorite people I've ever covered.
Yeah, no sarcasm in that voice at all this morning.
Unbelievable. Like, what do you, I mean, come on, man. Like, this is a guy who, during my time covering him, never made a mistake, ever. It was always somebody else's fault, or he wasn't used correctly, or, you know, he had that one lightning in a bottle year where he had a first-team all-pro season. But I just, man, I would love to hear people's stories about what he was like as a teammate, truly, now that he's gone and after this happened. I'm going to ask a few of the guys today, just for my own edification, what he was like as a teammate and what they thought of what happened last night. I'm gonna make it very clear. I'm not going to write anything about this. I'm not going to quote you anywhere. I just want to know and see what they say. Like, is he not the antithesis of everything you want in a teammate? Like, what a pouty. Just be a pro, man. What the, how can, I saw that last night and I thought, how is this even possible in a professional league? Like, I just, and imagine, you know, I saw Ward was critical of him. I saw Kittle was critical of him. And I don't think it matters. I don't think he cares. I don't think an apology is coming, that's for sure.
Do you think the Packers retroactively, some of the coaching staff, deserve a little credit for it not boiling over? Now, obviously, he didn't really lose a ton of playing time, which might have been the big thing that happened here. But obviously, he was an issue, and people like you and Rob and all the beat kind of intimated there was stuff going on behind the scenes we weren't fully aware of. But this didn't boil over, really, until he was no longer a Green Bay Packer, and now we see what happens in an actual game with the Niners.
Yeah, I mean, look, he always would. What was weird about him was that after the 1 year where he was so good, and then he got the 5 year, $50 million contract, like, all he kept saying was how, I remember he had Joe Barry for his defensive coordinator all those years, but all he would say was that, you know, all in his previous stops, he hadn't been put in a position to succeed. He could have been doing this all along, and how appreciative he was that the Packers did that for him. And then on his way, as you know, on his way out the door, all he could talk about was how the Packers misused him. I mean, it doesn't even compute. So, yeah, again, I'd really like to know how guys viewed him as a teammate. But, you know, he's one of those weird acquisitions that Goody deserves a ton of credit for getting a player, you know, on basically a minimum deal in June of 2021 and having him blossom into a first-team All-Pro. And then Goody deserves a bunch of criticism for signing him to a five-year, $50 million contract that he played 2 years of, didn't play well, and left a pretty good cap hit on his way out the door.
Jason Wilde with us this morning on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, ESPN Milwaukee. Alex Stroh, Joshy DiMaggio in for Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I struggled with this one because it's just, I mean, obviously it's wacky, it's different, it's weird, it's something unlike anything you've really ever seen before. I think Vontae Davis and Antonio Brown are the names that come to mind of similar exits mid-game. But for this one, Jason, my head actually went to Za'Darius Smith. With the captain chain and the way he left Green Bay disgruntled. When you think about Devondre Campbell and Za'Darius Smith, which exit do you think was nastier? It had to be Smith, I would guess, right?
Yeah, I mean, Smith was obviously a player who was pretty darn good his first 2 years on that free agent contract. And then you know, he didn't get a new deal going into whatever that was, the 2021 season, right?
I think that's right.
And he was, again, I hate the idea of saying he was faking an injury or whatever it might be, but there was definitely some confusion as to what exactly was wrong with him. You could sense the frustration in the building. I mean, he played one game in the regular season and played one game in the playoffs. I know for a fact there were teammates who were really angry with him and felt like he was malingering. So again, I don't understand when you get to the highest levels, and it's not like he wasn't getting paid. Like, I understand he wanted more guaranteed money moving forward. Doesn't everybody, but he was still getting paid. He still had a very healthy salary, and, you know, he's just, I don't know. The other guy that I would put on that list is Martellus Bennett, right? Who
sure.
Mysteriously, I would have never thought that a collarbone injury would be contagious, but in that 17 season when Rodgers broke his collarbone, suddenly Bennett had a shoulder injury that miraculously then healed when he returned to the Patriots. I just, you know, there are certain guys that, and I kind of wish Chewy was on the show today, just not because I don't enjoy your company, but because I'd love to know what teammates would say or do, or if they would confront a guy like this, or how they would handle it. Because I, you know, Rodgers in 17 was especially disappointed because he was all in on, and as was I was completely wrong. He's one of the players in my career who completely snowed me. But Rodgers looked really foolish because here was a guy that he really publicly backed and talked so much about what a great acquisition it was. And then lo and behold, he ends up basically quitting on the team as well. So yeah, this is never a good look. Maybe DeVondre Campbell finds another team that is desperate. You know, your willingness to put up with stuff is directly proportional with how desperately you need help at a position. But this is just, I am still befuddled that anyone would do this, even a guy that I didn't like covering.
Yesterday, both Romeo Doubs and Evan Williams were full participants. They are still in concussion protocol, I believe. Do we think we got a chance of seeing both of them this weekend against the Seahawks?
I do. I mean, look, I think that the NFL concussion protocol basically requires you, the last hurdle is to get through a heavy exertion practice without then experiencing concussion symptoms afterward. And so them going through 2 days of full-fledged practices is obviously a good sign. Now, I also think, you know, that it's convenient to avoid having to talk about it by saying that they're still in the protocol. That will either change today or it won't, I would think. They'll have to list them with a designation for the game. But, yeah, look, if they get Evan Williams back, that's obviously a really good thing for them. Otherwise, they'll start Zane Anderson, who the coaches were thrilled with how he went in and played after Williams got hurt. And it was funny, we were talking to Jeff Hafley yesterday, and, you know, he had made a comment about how Zane Anderson played because they had lost both Evan Williams and Javon Bullard. But I said, you know, Jeff, didn't you go straight to Anderson when Williams went out? You didn't move Bullard. And he, rightfully so, so that was a great point. Thank you. But it shows that they felt comfortable with a guy who had played 8 defensive snaps all season. Basically, his reasoning, he explained, was Javon Bullard had been working in the slot all week long. That's where he practiced, so they wanted to leave him there. And it would have meant moving him to the safety spot and then moving Keyshawn Nixon inside from his outside spot. So then you're moving 2 guys. So the fact that Zane Anderson was able to play and play effectively, you know, his biggest play was a stop of Montgomery on 3rd down in the final minute, and was rendered meaningless because they then went for it on 4th down and got it. But that would have been a huge play had they actually kicked the field goal there. it would have allowed Jordan Love to get the ball back and at least have a chance to go tie the game with, I don't know, 35 seconds and no timeouts or whatever it would have been. So if they have to play Zane Anderson, you know, I think they're fine. Not ideal, but fine. And if Romeo Doubs stays in the concussion protocol and misses his third straight game, it should mean that they have more targets for Jaden Reed, which has been an issue. Uh-huh. But it would also be a big concern in my mind that he's still in the concussion protocol, because missing three games, that becomes a major concern when it comes to a concussion.
All right, two quick takeaways from that from Jason Wilde, who's with us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Number one, fascinating to know the NFL and Denmark High School have the same concussion protocol. I had a concussion my senior year.
You're still in it.
Yeah. I the funny thing there is I think I technically am. Because I retired from soccer after I got my concussion my senior year because I didn't go to practice. I didn't attend practice. We were the worst team in the state.
So you quit.
The first win in our program's history came my senior year, which was the eighth year of the program. It was against the co-ed team.
You Devondre Campbell'd.
Correct. So I got a concussion the second to last game of the season.
Devondre Stroll.
And yep. I didn't go to practice, so my season came to an end. Second takeaway. When you said the name Zane Anderson for the first time, Jason, Joshy DiMaggio visibly winced, which I'm unsure why, so I want to pass it to Joshy for a moment.
He's just a guy, as Jason said, who had played eight defensive snaps to that point. He obviously, as Jason alluded to, the defensive staff was happy with him. But
yeah,
for a long time,
well.
for a long time, the joke was he's not a real person.
Correct.
Because he was always inactive.
Yeah,
so
last week was the first time, and I literally said it out loud watching the Thursday night football game. Oh my God, he's real.
Yes.
Yeah.
So the wince was simply he's not the preferred option.
No, he is not.
Yeah.
But he's real, which is
he's
good.
He's real.
It's better than
and
being,
he made a stop, made a play.
He did make a big play against the Lions despite the loss. All right, Jason, before we let you go, I asked you this yesterday on Weekly Wilder. You've had more time to think about it. Outside of it being a home game for Seattle, what is their biggest advantage in Sunday night's game?
That's a good question. Look, I think they've got three really good wide receivers. And it's interesting that they've, because I know Bill Huber and I have both been asking some questions this week about this. Like they still, I think, have thrown more passes than anybody in the league, but it seems like they finally realized offensively, hey, this isn't working, right? They had the 4-game losing streak, and Geno was throwing the ball like 45, 50 times a game, and now they've got two running backs that they really like. I don't know if Walker's going to be available or not. We'll find that out today. But you know, they like Charbonnet, which I'm more of a Zinfandel guy. Mm-hmm. But
hey,
that was a dad joke. That was terrible.
I liked it.
No,
I didn't.
I figured I like to try out my worst material with you two, and then you know, had it been the regular crew, I would have never made
the
it.
The interesting thing is, you going for the alcohol joke as a non-drinker.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's a very good point, Josh. Actually, and let's be honest, I don't think I would be a Zinfandel.
No, I don't think so.
I don't either.
But be that as it may, I really think the injury report today is going to be crucial, because I did talk to Jair Alexander for 30 seconds yesterday, and he was not exactly clear cut on what his availability might be. There's a better chance this week than there was last week, and he's feeling good. So we'll see what they list him as. I would predict they'll still list him as questionable. But if he's back, it would mitigate what I see as one of the biggest advantages. I mean, Jaxon Smith-Njigba is a really good player.
Really good.
DK Metcalf's a really good player. And Tyler Lockett, who I know played in the 14 NFC Championship game, I mean, it feels like he's been there forever. Kind of the way Jordy Nelson should have finished his career in Green Bay. They should have just kept him playing for as long as he wanted to play in Green Bay, but they didn't. He still has what it takes. And so, you know, what they end up having to configure from a cornerback situation and how much, here's the other interesting thing. Let me cut myself off. You know, Matt LaFleur made it very clear that he's going to keep rotating Carrington Valentine and Eric Stokes. And Eric Stokes did not play very well against Detroit.
Has he ever?
So that's another interesting layer to how they're going to handle those wide receivers.
That is interesting.
I'm terrified about the middle of the field. Packers can't defend it, and JSN's good there.
Yeah, that's where they throw the ball all the time. Uh-huh. Yep.
Yeah.
Might get dicey on Sunday night. Jason, we will talk to you during the 5 o'clock hour of Green Bay Game Day, Sunday afternoon, previewing Packers-Seahawks. Until then, have a great weekend.
All right, guys. Take care. Be good.
The great Jason Wilde. You can hear him immediately following us on Wilde and Tausch from 9 to noon right here on ESPN Milwaukee. Alex Groff, Josh DiMaggio hanging out with you this Friday morning. Dude Friday. Inmates running the asylum. Dude Friday, I think, is what we're formally calling this. A little bit.
It's succinct and right to the point.
Yeah, you know me. I mean, brevity is my strong suit. That's why I work in radio, man. Really good at not talking a lot. Craig Karmazin, CEO, founder of Good Karma Brands, our boss and the host of Sunday Karma, will join us coming up next. We will get some more insight on Devondre Campbell. We will talk a little Bucks in Vegas as Craig Karmazin, a minority owner in the Milwaukee Bucks. And, of course, we'll talk some more Packers Seahawks. That's on the other side. It's Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Friday morning.
It's Friday, and that means it's time to check in with GKB President Craig Karmazin.
Gabe, you're right. I actually just looked at the stats. No hypocrite has ever won a championship.
Fridays with Mo.
Mark Attanasio, the last thing he wanted to do was play a video and tribute Craig Council in any way. So I give Mark Attanasio a ton of credit.
Craig Karmazin on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy is sponsored by Landworks Landscape Services. Their creative and talented team will design, build, enhance, and maintain beautiful landscapes in southeastern Wisconsin. Learn more and see their work at landworkswisconsin.com.
Friday on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Alex Groff, Josh DiMaggio in, hanging out with you on a Friday morning. Excited to be joined now by the CEO and founder of Good Karma Brands, the host of Sunday Karma. Some Sundays during the football season from 10 to noon here on ESPN Milwaukee. Craig Karmazin joins us now on Sunday Karma. Craig, I said on Sunday Karma.
By the way, it's great when the producers are running the show so that everything's on time, right? That's probably the most important.
Oh, you're upset exactly with us for running late.
I was going to say, throwing shots at the sometimes on Sunday when we are 16 minutes late to him is a tough choice by you.
All right, put the poll in the field. Who's employed longer, Devondre Campbell or Alex Groff? Who will be employed longer today? Craig, I do want to get to that at some point, but I actually want to start with the Bucks into the semifinals of the Emirates NBA Cup, heading to Las Vegas tomorrow. The way this team has turned it around, unbelievably impressive. The way Giannis has continued to evolve his game, unbelievably impressive, leading the NBA in points per game. What do you make of the turnaround? What do you make of the semifinal matchup coming tomorrow?
I don't know that I make much of it yet, right? Like, I think it's almost like as bad as the start was, like you almost needed this, and now like we're back to where kind of it's okay, right? Like, it's not like, okay, we've gone out and beaten the best of the NBA. We're playing like a championship team. I think it'd be great to win this semifinal game and get a level past where the team got last year, not because the Emirates Cup is like the be all and end all, but I think the matchup in the finals will then tell us something. You know, the Bucks beat the Rockets at home earlier in the season, you know, in a game that started to show that the Bucks were playing better. But I think if the Bucks could beat the Hawks, who just beat them on their home court, and then beat either the Thunder or the Rockets, I think it would say that this team is, in fact, letting the NBA know it's a championship quality team.
Craig, does the NBA Cup matter as much to the players and coaches as they seem to make it? I know last year there seemed to be a little hesitance, but now it seems like everybody who's a part is fully on board.
I mean, I don't know if everybody is, but I think for the Bucks, every game mattered so much, and then financially it matters for people, and so every game is going to matter to begin with. Then it matters more because you've dug yourself a hole. Then it matters more because you're going to get paid more. And you bring in some players who grew up in Europe who understand what an in-season cup means, right? The FA Cup and the Caribou Cup, you know, people who are from different countries around Europe and even other continents are used to this. So I think it really does matter, and they're not faking it. And it's not a substitution for a championship. And I think we saw two of the four coaches who made it to Vegas last year did not return for the 2024-25 season. So winning the Emirates NBA Cup doesn't guarantee employment the following year, as Darvin Ham found out with the Lakers. But I think it does. You know, it's absolutely meaningful more than a regular season game.
Will you be in attendance?
I will not. I was there last year, but the travel schedule this year did me in, so I'm not going to be able to attend.
That's too
bad. I just
got
back to Wisconsin late last night, so I will not be attending.
I hope you were somewhere warmer than what it is here, Craig, because it is awful outside.
This week I was in Texas, Arizona, and New York. So all were warmer, but I wasn't like outside for significant amounts of time. So I didn't get a lot of sunbathing in.
I guess I won't argue with that. I'm sure you read the Devondre Campbell story. The former Packers linebacker leaving the game last night for the San Francisco 49ers essentially said, I don't want to play in a really close game. What'd you make of that situation? Because that one is, it's Vontae Davis-esque, the guy that retired at halftime a few years ago. What do you make of it?
I don't know yet. I've heard how some of his teammates reacted in the locker room, which was pretty stunning, right? Mm-hmm. To hear him called out and to hear people say, like, all right, I guess he better be cut now. Like, we're done with him. So, has he spoken, you know, to what happened?
No.
So, I mean, it's hard for me to say something, but you think about that on a short week in a division game, if they win, they're 11% to win, to make the playoffs. If they lose, they are 0.1% to make the playoffs. It is a one possession game, the entire game. And he's not able to go out there in a defensive struggle. I mean, that's a tough situation. But, you know, I'm never going to question without understanding the full story someone who's gotten to that level in their career, someone who's, you know, to the eliteness and what you need to do with your body and the sacrifices you need to make. So, I mean, without hearing what he has to say, I think it's a little reckless to speculate on anything or to call his character into question.
Craig Carmerson joining us here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. I want to pivot to the Brewers here quickly. Most recently, it was it leaked out that the Packers were serious contenders for Garrett Crochet, who ended up going to the Red Sox. We saw Willy Adames sign a contract with the, I almost said 49ers, with the San Francisco Giants.
I was like, wait, you had the Packers?
Yeah, you said Packers.
Yeah, Crochet. I do that a lot. Yes, the Brewers.
Yeah.
How, as a fan of the Milwaukee Brewers, do I not get discouraged by the Brewers' inability to keep some of that good talent and seemingly be totally out of the mix when it comes to the better players? Like, are the Brewers at a point right now where it's do as much as you can from the front office and management and just hope you get lucky to make a deep playoff run?
No, I think we may have thought that 3 or 4 years ago, but I think we've seen that this team is able to build a really competitive quality team. And last year, this team had really, really bad injury luck and was still one of the four best teams in the major league. So I don't think you have to worry about, you know, it's not like getting lucky or anything like that. It's the fact that they've been unlucky in the postseason. And we've seen that this team is able to build a quality competitive team that can compete, you know, with anybody. And again, we know it was a fluke, right? Devin Williams couldn't close an inning, but this team was good enough last year, and that was with Yelich out, that was without multiple starting pitchers. I mean this team had terrible injury luck last year and was still, you know, set up to have an extended postseason run.
Oh, they're going to win 95 games next year. I've got no worries. I'm that confident.
That's the thing.
Crazy. That's craziness. Whoa, I don't know 95 wins.
I'm
93 last year.
I'm a huge believer, and I am a huge fan. I just see things like this happen, and the rumors about Devin Williams potentially moving. It feels so discouraging, but then when the Brewers play, I'm so excited and think they're so good.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah. Like, the thing about the Mets finally had, like, a year, and it's, I don't know if it's a coincidence that David Stearns was there, like, June through September. But, like, there's teams that win the offseason, and the Brewers have never been the team that wins the offseason, right? Like, I mean, as a Brewers fan, you just have to, like, be able to sit back and laugh as all these other teams are thinking that like winning December matters when the Brewers know that they have a pretty good thing going. Now, I would again say that some people say, well, the Brewers aren't winning October. They're only winning April through September. But I think we know that there's chance involved in that. And the Brewers have put themselves in position, I don't know, 7 of the last 9 years or whatever it is to have a chance there.
Last thing for Craig Karmazin here on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on a Friday morning. The biggest news of the week in the sports world. Bill Belichick, the 8-time Super Bowl champion, is now the head coach at University of North Carolina. Craig, I mean, I was completely shocked by this, despite the rumors that have been swirling the last week. I didn't think he was actually going to do it. What do you make of it?
I just am stunned that no NFL team wanted Bill Belichick, because this wasn't a matter of him choosing North Carolina over NFL jobs. This was him last year only having inquiry from the Falcons, him not even being a top three from any of the Falcons' decision makers. When they went around the room, Belichick wasn't any of their top three. And then this year, as he was able to look at what the potential jobs were that were going to be open, the combination of one that he would be interested in and that he would think would have interest in him, the fact that there were none there, like, this wasn't his first choice. I mean, that to me is the most stunning thing, that the winningest coach since Don Shula, right, had no market for him in the NFL, to me is absolutely stunning.
Yeah, it is stunning. And I'm so curious to see if it translates, right? Because college sports, essentially, Craig, they have a professional aspect now at the NIL.
Oh, no, it's going to be, this is going to be Coach Prime Part 2. And I know they're very, very different.
Okay.
But the way, I know those two don't get compared a lot.
Yeah.
But if you look at what Dion did with that program and how he made Colorado football relevant, that's what we're going to see. And the ACC network and ESPN, which obviously we're so closely aligned with, this is really exciting, because a school like North Carolina that's been never known for its football, no offense to former Packer Vonnie Holiday, our good friend, you know, this is going to be a great show. And Bill Belichick's not one to put on a spectacle in the way Dion is, but this is going to be so much fun, and this is going to be a fun ride, because this is going to become a destination the same way it was with Dion in Colorado. In a totally different way, this is going to be a really fun ride with Coach Belichick in North Carolina.
It's a really good comparison by you. Hope you wished your friend Vonnie Holiday a happy birthday this week. Thanks, Craig.
Thanks, guys.
It's Craig Karmazin, host of Sunday Karma, which you can hear this weekend, 10 to noon, on Sunday right here on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Josh DiMaggio, Alex Strope hanging out with you on a Friday morning. We roll on right after this.
You are listening to Jen, Gabe, and Chewy.
The source
What's a
is...
click below dumb?
You. No.
Whoa. That's fine. Whoa. No, that's what I was
Good
getting.
Good pop. Good pop.
That's, whoa. I know.
Unnecessary.
I'm not dumb. I'm one click below dumb. We need to find out what that word is.
Don't you want to be one click above dumb?
Oh, that's right. I'm one click above.
On 94.5 ESPN.
Fellas, listen up. You guys listening? Thank you. We all know some of the best holiday gifts you can give are jewelry, especially from the Jewelry Center. Gold necklaces, naturally mined or lab-grown diamonds for earrings, and of course, engagement rings. When I want to give a memorable gift, of course, I visit my friends at the Jewelry Center and take advantage of their deals. And right now, they've got a deal even Santa can't beat. Santa?
Santa?
I know him. You can win a $2,000 shopping spree to the Jewelry Center just by registering online. That's right, $2,000 can be yours. Register now through December 23rd at ESPNWisconsinContest.com for that $2,000 shopping spree on the Jewelry Center.
Fellas, continue to listen up.
Uh-huh.
Josh DiMaggio, Alex Griff with you on a Friday morning. Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. Will Summers running the show for us this morning as we get ready for Packers-Seahawks. But before we turn the page to the Seahawks, Josh, we got to reflect for a moment.
Yes.
Prior to last Thursday's game in Detroit, Matt LaFleur was heated. He was upset. He was yelling at a fan, telling him to shut the bleep up, amongst some other verbiage. The fan has now been revoked of his season tickets at Ford Field for the Detroit Lions.
Yeah, that was a surprising move to me, seeing as it was the Packers that were upset with him. It was a rival. But his behavior, obviously, as we saw, the throat slashing and the trying to goad the opponent's teammates. I've never been able to understand why average dudes who look oftentimes like you or I think it's good to taunt NFL athletes, these supreme physically gifted people who spend their whole life getting stronger, bigger, and faster. Correct. How they have anyone has the gumption to do that is beyond me. And this guy paid the price. I watched his interview he did with a local Detroit news station.
Now, how was that?
He really didn't have much to say. He's like, yeah, I might have overreacted. I might have misbehaved. You know, the game got the best of me, and it's like, you're a fan, man. You should be happy to be on the field. You're getting to do something, hold the flag. Like, that's an awesome thing and a perk for your season ticket. And you lost it because you wanted to look at Matt LaFleur and give him a throat slash?
I wanted to trash the guy, but he said the same exact thing that I say to my girlfriend every Sunday. Yeah, sorry, babe. I let the game get the best of me. That's my bad. I overreacted.
It's just, we need to have some decorum.
Yeah.
You need to be able to check yourself. Like, maybe I shouldn't look Zach Tom in the eye and tell him he's going down. Maybe that's a losing proposition for me. Maybe I should hold the flag and be happy I'm here.
Yeah, probably. Probably. Is the Packers defense a big upgrade, a little upgrade, or no upgrade at all in comparison to last year's Joe Barry scheme? We dive into that question. Coming up next, Jen, Gabe, and Chewy with you on a Friday.